We're going to, Farheen has begun recording. If there's any objection, let us know. We usually record the meetings and post the meetings. Everything here is in is open source discussion and open for everyone's participation. With that, we'll begin roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
I'm David. Sure.
Thank you. David? Masafumi-san?
Hi, Jack. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. William? All right. Vishwa? Huha?
Hello, Jack. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Ganesh?
Morning, Jack. Hi, everyone. Ganesh.
And John Paul?
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. John Paul here.
Thank you. So we have six present. So we meet our quorum. Often a couple join a little bit later, depending on where they're from. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue. The next point is to review and approve minutes from the previous meeting. Today is April 22nd, 2020. So the previous meeting minutes we'll review are from April 15th, 2020. We have them posted here on the website. The recording is available. And you can go through and look at the notes that are taken. Is there anybody who has any corrections, additions, or concerns with the minutes as they're recorded for April 15th? Okay, with that, I'll ask for a motion to accept the minutes.
Yeah, I can make a motion.
Thank you, Jinri. Second?
Yes, John Paul, I can second it.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
You are
saying aye.
You're saying aye.
Hi, we're going to say hi.
All those against say nay. Okay, we've approved the minutes for 4:15. Thank you very much. And let's return to our 4:22 agenda. The next item is reviewing today's agenda. Does anyone have anything new that they would like to add to today's agenda?
Yeah, this is Ritwik here. I need to request for some time extension for some development activity that is going on for the traffic steering use case. It'll impact, I think, the RIC app and the E2 SIM enhancement because of the files that are coming in from VRV at this time.
Okay. Do you want to deal with that during your? You have a time during a standing agenda. Can we do it there or do you want to do
I think that should be fine.
Okay. All right, then let's go ahead and does anyone else have anything they want to add to the agenda? I added one thing. I'll talk about the OAI has offered to meet with us to discuss how we may be able to align or collaborate. And so I'll talk about that under new business.
Good morning, Jack. I solution, I also added two items under the integration and test section.
Very good. Okay. Anyone else? All right. The next one is items for votes and approvals. So we have a new name. David didn't join us yet. Okay, so we have a new name. It's called Dawn. I guess the question I'll have is, you know, what image we'll use for Dawn, you know, as our icon. I think we all know what Dawn looks like, but the question is, what color is officially Dawn? It's not as clear, at least to me. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I looked it up, I Googled it, and found that it's sort of like a peachy reddish color. So okay. For the icon, I took a snapshot of a dawn, a photograph of a dawn sky, and I was thinking of just making that into the icon color.
Okay, well, like I said there, that'll be fine. And if other people have options, we'll consider that, but at least we now have Dawn for our D revision. And I thank everyone that participated in the poll, and for David for organizing the poll and getting it done. Great. Another thing off of our list, is there any votes or approvals that need to be discussed? Okay. Marketing.
Sorry, Jack. Sorry, I know I missed it there a second ago, but can I add an item to the agenda to maybe a question to ask about licensing?
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry, I should have jumped in a minute ago. Thanks.
No problem. All right. 1 second. I don't always log in ahead of time, so I just give me a second. All right. So now I can. So under new agenda items, we'll do a. Am I going to mess you up, Farheen, if I add something there, or do you want to edit?
You could do it, Jack, since you're there. It's fine. No problem.
It's interesting.
I can add it if you want.
No, I think I just jumped to the wrong place is all, because I need to get to the, yes, here. Licensing. Okay. And I'll update. All right, so good. All right, let's, Jinri, anything on the marketing front?
Just a very quick update. The virtual exhibition that I mentioned before, that hasn't been opened yet, but it will be open soon. And I will have a meeting with Zemelec in an hour. And as far as I know, I believe that the virtual exhibition could be available within these 2 days.
Okay. So,
yeah. And in the meantime, this is actually not directly related to marketing, but this is more about the Orient Alliance. I mean, last week, it was last week. Yes, there was a TSC call, and then people started to discuss the virtual meeting for June as a replacement for the face-to-face, right, due to the COVID-19 situation. So I think this is an information that we need to pay attention to. So Paul and I are actually collecting from the working group co-chairs regarding the topics they would like to bring to the meetings for discussion. And it's a bit different from previous meetings. This time, the virtual meetings prefer the cross working group discussion topics instead of the, instead of the topics by the individual working group. So, and I think definitely our OAC fall into this category. So we need to think of these topics. They need the discussion across working groups. So, and we can bring this back to our Orient Alliance, and then we can get it arranged.
Okay, very good. Could we add could you send the, at least just the date and any information that you have to Farheen? She can add it. We'll get an open item so that we, track this over the next few weeks and make sure we get it taken care of.
I don't have it now, but I think we can make this as an open item and we will continue to follow this.
Right, but it's at least, we know it's targeted June, so at least.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of information. Okay, and we'll continue to discuss it as we go.
Yeah.
Okay, there is one item on marketing I was going to throw out there, and maybe somebody would like to take on is, most other open source projects have a logo that people throw up. In the early days, we talked about creating a logo for the OSC. We talked about how it would relate to ORAN Alliance. They didn't want it to be too close, but we wanted it to somehow. And so it just kind of got pushed to the background. But if you look at all the Linux Foundation projects and other activities, there is a, they all have some kind of logo, and Linux Foundation will help us a little bit with this if we, want to register it or whatever. If someone's interested, if one of the TOC members is interested in taking it on, think about it and let us know. It's one of these things that, is nice to have, but takes a little bit of creativity and a little bit of perseverance to work through, different people's ideas till we find something that makes sense. So just thought I would throw that out there. If someone wants to pick that up and work that. That'd be kind of under marketing. Just because I'll mention it here, I've also gotten sucked into another Linux Foundation project. So because of other activities, I'm also currently, replacing someone from AT&T on the LF Edge board. So I have some activity there, but I will keep the two separate. They're not really, though they, bump up against each other, they're two separate activities, and I'll be keeping them separate. I just wanted to declare my my activities so people know. All right, anything else on marketing before we go to open items? All right, first one, I think Jinri already mentioned, we're waiting for the information and presentations for the demos and get them up here on the website. Farheen, Jinri, we'll have to figure out where's the best place and to highlight that so people can find it easy, but let's get the information there. Is there anything else to add? I think we just need to get it. Okay. Item B, Farheen, did Tracy get you the PlugFest information yet?
Yes, Jack, if you go to the events page, so I updated, Tracy provided this information and I added it to the events page.
Great.
Call for participation.
All right, so good. People, can take a look at, there's an Asian, a Europe, and a North American Plugfest activities highlighted there. These are important for ORAN, Alliance, and OSC. So please take a look and encourage participation. And thank you, Farheen, for getting it up there and for and Tracy for bringing that information and running. Those things are always a tremendous amount of work, and I thank Tracy for organizing that and pulling it together for both the ORAN Alliance and the ORAN SC. All right. So we can, Farheen, we'll close that one out and can remove that for next week.
Sure.
Okay. The next one was William. Any update on the coordination with the ORAN test group?
Yes. Good morning. This is William. So up to now, so I have some slides. Maybe I can present that
Sure.
or to clarify my Discord. Just a minute, please. Okay. Okay, so I have prepared these slides in order to provide more information about this collaboration between TFIG and the ORAN software community. So up to now, the idea in this collaboration is to have different inputs from OSC to the test and integration focus group requirements for these end-to-end test specifications. So the coordination have started. There are 1 month ago, and we start collecting different requirements from operators. So the idea at the beginning is to collect all requirements from operators and other SDOs in the ecosystem, and also integrate this open source community blueprint, so which is currently in development in our software community, and also try to have a picture on different tools that are already available for this test and integration focus group. And at the end, at the midterm, could provide this first specification or requirement from test and integration focus group to the ORAN software community in order to incorporate these requirements in our next releases. Okay, so basically the idea
I could just interrupt 1 second, if you go back to,
yeah,
the only thing on this top one here that you might want to include, it's blueprints, but it should be use cases and tools, right? Because
yes.
I think the use cases are what kind of drive us, and so we want to make sure that we're aligning on, especially the end-to-end use cases, but all the use cases that ORAN TIFG needs to influence, because that's how we do our development. So their test specs and specs come in, but they are going to find their way into our use cases, which is how we drive software, and then we'll drive it back to the TIFG as implemented software based on the use cases. So I think mentioning the use cases is the critical place where we have to capture those things we're exchanging. Okay?
Very quick question there, William. Related OSS, I take it OSS is open source software, is it?
Yes, this is in terms of for the open source community, yes, because we up to now we are integrated also other projects in our different software projects. So this is the reason that I mentioned this related OSS.
Yeah, I guess it was open source software. I just wanted to confirm it wasn't the management solution OSS. So yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so this scheme or try to illustrate what's the the strategic point of view behind this test and integration framework. So the idea is to split different part of this specification into a system-wide profile and subsystem, which take into consideration, for example, our EU or ODU, RAID intelligence controller, and so on, and also different interfaces and tools in order to be defined in this document. So once all operators provide these different requirements, we will be able to establish this first version for this wide system profile. Okay, so taking if we see the timeline or the time plan for this collaboration between the Orange Software Community and the TIFG, the idea is to collaborate, taking into consideration the release, different releases, and once one version or a draft from this TIFG group is available, be able to integrate these different requirements in our releases. And as you can see in this scheme, the idea is to integrate in different time plans and releases the requirements specified in different into these groups. Okay, in short term, so we try to consolidate the requirements from operators in a first draft in coming weeks, in order to have this global view on different requirements, and try to integrate at the same time the Orange Software Community requirements and blueprints and use cases as well. This document will be a draft and could be used by the Orange Software Community as an input for the next release, release C, in order to establish new use cases and blueprints for the release C. And the TIFG also expect to provide a first draft of use cases and blueprints by May, and have a final version by the beginning of this summer in order to have this validation and first specification for test framework, end-to-end test framework. Okay. So up to now, I think that this scheme from Entity Docomo summarized very well different proposal from the operators, is to have different blueprints, take into consideration different profile deployments. In this case, I think that most of operators have these requirements in order to have this NSA architecture at the beginning of this document. So the idea is to use this OpenX2 and OpenFormHole specification in order to provide a first document based in order to validate this end-to-end test and integration for NSA. And in the second or next version, integrate as the specification will be available, different other interfaces and specification as well. So the idea in short term is to provide this document for NSA, and in mid-term and long-term, the SAE as well. So this is the baseline scenario that we can, yes. Yes, do you have any question maybe?
Well, I think that was just your some echo or something.
Go. Okay, sorry. So up to now, I think that the baseline scenario that we can expect to have for this first version is to have this NSA basic scenario for NSA, which integrates the open front hall scenario and OpenX2 in order to be able to define different tools, different elements that will be need to specify the end-to-end test and integration framework. Okay, so we expect to have a first version in coming weeks. So normally next week we will continue the discussion on this.
Hello?
Yeah, I think we lost them.
Yes, I'm sorry. My connection was lost. So as I said before, this is the baseline scenario. So we expect to have in coming weeks this scenario, basically the description of this different scenario. I think this basic is one of the first scenario that will be described in the document. So I don't know if you have any comment or question. Maybe Ko from TFIG is connected. Maybe you can add some about that, some other comment.
Yeah, can I just ask there, you say no ORAN RIC. I presume you mean no near real-time RIC, is it?
Yes, for them, up to now, the requirement from operators don't specify these radio intelligence controllers are as urgent for this first end-to-end framework. So it's for that reason that I don't think that in this first version it will be important. So okay, maybe so at the second or other version will be integrated.
Okay, so there's no plan here to, you know, to test whatever parts of E2, near real-time RIC, non-real-time RIC, SMO, OEM, any of that stuff at all. Okay, fine.
Hey, hi, this is Hello, sorry. Go on, please.
Yeah, and I was just going to say proprietary OEM interfaces, that including, there's no near real time RIC, there's no A1. Okay, no, that's fine. I just wanted just clarification, that's all. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Ku. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So this is what Docomo-san has presented as what they've actually commercially deployed today. For their 5G deployments, and this is what they're basically evolving right from at the moment. So I just wanted, maybe this is something that I've actually confused William and the rest of the test integration focus group members. The end-to-end testing framework specifications that we're planning to put together basically will encompass right all the ORAN network functions, which are basically specifying in progress, right, or specifications in progress within ORAN Alliance. So that will basically include the near real-time RIC, the non-real-time RIC, the O1, O2, and E2, but obviously we know that not all the interfaces and network nodes, right, would actually be specified to the full level of capabilities depending on the use cases, right? That's why I think the use cases would be really important. It's one of the aspects of the blueprint, even though it's not explicitly mentioned in the in the words, right, just now in the first slide. And the purpose of the test specs, when we flesh it out in more details over the next weeks, it's basically going to be showing in terms of like a mapping from what the operators would like to look at, right? Testing from a subsystem perspective. For example, the DU could be a subsystem, and then how do we actually, what sort of KPIs, testing methodologies, where do we actually refer, right, the readers to? So it's like a quick start guide basically for the OTICs, right, OTICs, for them to look at it and say, okay, if I want to be able to deploy a blueprint like what OSC has, right, and then based on our discussion, there seems to be multiple blueprints of interest, and then what do we actually need to do in terms of validating at a subsystem level and then going to a system level and make sure that the entire blueprint can actually be a purpose designed and purpose validated. If that makes sense, right? So obviously, like I said, right, not all the specs will be in place. Like E2, for example, the service models for different use cases may not be all in place day one, but I think Telecom Italia, for example, they've actually indicated in a similar presentation that they would like to make sure that they can validate, right, the RIC using some of the high priority use cases, right, that's been aligned between working group 3, I believe, with 2 and 1 as well, on the QoE, I think. And I think dynamic traffic steering could be another one that they're looking at as well.
Okay. So I kind of need to jump in here because I agree with what everyone is saying. It's a more of a time constraint item here. So this is a great insight into what's going on. How many more slides do you have there, William?
No, that's the final slide. The other one is only a representation of general architecture, okay. So it's not important. Yeah.
So this is good. Obviously, this baseline scenario here really does not leverage much of what we have today, right? And so I think
Jack, I think it does, right? Because the ORU and the ODU is getting tested in bronze.
Well,
PRV is helping us to test ODU low.
Right, but we don't have any code for ORU today, right? On that side of the interface.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
But Jack, right, I think what we're trying to propose for the ODU testing, for example, is actually one of the subsystem testing that we're putting together for a ORAN alliance as well. Right.
Yeah, I'm just talking about this specific picture here, not what we can do. The way this picture is described is really more of a legacy picture. We're not really doing X2, right? That much. We don't have an ORU today have a baseline of code there yet. And our OCU, isn't really very far along, and ODU is just getting started, and we don't really have an O1 interface into the ODU. So all I'm saying is this is not, we don't line up well with this right picture because it's a lot of legacy, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So it's a good place to start because this is the reality of where the world is right now, right? But as part of the plan going forward, looking at Cherry, we have to start understanding how we're going to play into these. The other thing is I like your picture about timeline. If you can, William, if you're done, I'll go ahead and take it back because we need to get on. But your timeline pictures, we should fold these key dates into our timeline that we have on our release management. I have a channel. Let's see if I can, if you release, if I take, I'm going to take sharing back and go back to our TOC site. But when we look at our release planning here, for particularly Cherry, down here we have the ORAN Alliance, we should be putting in here the TFIG, key dates in that row there as well, so that we have them on our plan so that we can align with them. Okay. So send me if you can send me an email for the dates, I'll make sure it gets on there for Cherry and Dawn. Okay, William?
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
All right, great. That's an important part that we align with. Let's move on to Lujing. Let's see, how are things progressing with the Sprint 3 demos?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, it's going well. There are, I think, two projects already did their own demos, and they posted the videos onto the demo wiki page. Today, later, we'll have the ODU High demo, and tomorrow, the near real-time platform and application will have another demo session. So that's the remaining demos for this sprint.
And I encourage people to join and look at the demos. That helps you understand where they're going and how they're progressing. So these are important opportunities to see what the teams are doing. All right, Martin, we got the link here for that. We'll add that to our information for the Yang models. I have to figure out where we want to start. I don't know if we want to start, continue to expand our website so it makes it easy for people to find things. We'll continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. But thank you for the information, Martin.
Yeah, so I have it on my wiki, but or on the OEM wiki. Sorry, it's not my one. But yeah, if we want to have data modeling parts or anyhow modeling somewhere in a more broader way, I'm all for it.
Great. Okay, let's move on to the standing agenda. Just a quick look at bronze. People are continuing to update their projects, which are good. We look at the release date. Where are we on the release? Today is April 22nd. You know, we're in the middle of the last development week officially. I know Ritwick is asking for some time. We'll get to that here in a minute. Well, actually, while we're here, Ritwick, how much time do you think you're going to need? We'll talk more about the detail here in a minute, but are you asking for a week or 2 weeks?
I think two. I think the end-to-end, that's what I hear from the conversations with the RICAP team and the end-to-end simulation team. 2 weeks is what we're looking at.
So that would slide us to May 31st. All right. So let's get back to the agenda here and see if we can get to that discussion. I think that's the next thing up anyhow. So what are the key pieces that's driving the delay there, Ritwick, and what's to be gained by 2 week delay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are three key pieces here. The first piece is the Viavi simulated files need to come through. And since we've been having discussions with Viavi for quite a while, you know, I think it's only recently that Viavi is going to make these files available. So that's number one. Number two is once those files are produced, the E2 simulator is getting enhanced. And that's, I think, Alex is running that show to make sure that the E2 simulator gets enhanced. We've identified Ron to implement the E2 simulator enhancement, but I think he's still running a little slow here.
Well, we started that late, right? Let's not blame Ron for running slow. We started that process late.
Yeah.
We brought a new research on. And so, you know, he hasn't had time to do that versus the original plan.
And then number three is once the E2 simulator enhanced gets those files, converts it, translates it to the right E2 format, KPM Mon, which Samsung is contributing, has to take those files and put it in the database so that the XApps can then start consuming it. So those are the three steps. I think, 2 weeks will definitely help us. I don't need the whole traffic sharing XApp to be stitched together. We'll do that in Cherry anyway, because it'll move over to Cherry. But at least some progress in these three steps that I said would be, good progress. I think that would help to gear what we have to do in the next release. Because we've done a lot of work on traffic sharing. There's a lot of discussion, design. A lot of parties have to come together. So I think that's the request to get this two-week extension to see how much more we can push to get some progress done now.
Okay. Does anyone else have any thoughts or comments from the TOC or from the community?
Actually, this is Alex. What Ritwick said, it's exactly what I am aware of. So I've been talking to Ron and the things are going well there, but of course he will need the files from Miami to continue the development. And this is the reason.
Right, but it's one thing to do testing, it's another thing for the code. How much code? So the code we're talking about is primarily in the simulator project. Or is there code in other places that have to change beyond the end date?
Well, a lot of the RICAP code needs to change. The KPI Mon an excerpt from the Amber release, but they need to update that significantly. And then the traffic steering excerpts, the three excerpts in the that I do the control loop and the machine learning, there's a lot of work to do on those. And partially it's also because Ron is implementing the traffic steering XApp also, so his time is kind of getting split now between the simulator and the XApp. And also we lost Tommy, one of the developers from the XApp team, just a couple of weeks ago, so that didn't help.
Yeah. All right. I guess that the primary impacts are the simulator and the XApps.
Yes.
But is it because the XApp coding can't be done till we understand how the simulator is working? Is that no. coupling?
No. They I think all the interfaces are nailed down now. So the development can continue in parallel, and then it's of course whatever when they are put together if there's any discrepancies. But I think we are in I think pretty much in agreement. I don't know if the E2SM needs to be updated between the KPI Mon and the E2 simulator. I've seen that there's some emails between Samsung and Ron. But when the data gets into the RIC, the interfaces between the XApps inside the RIC have been agreed.
Okay, so what kind of... If we stay on the current schedule, what kind of functionality would be available at the end of B versus, you know, because the next option, so you have two options. We can slide the end date out and slide all the software deadlines out and testing and everything, or we could, you know, stay on schedule and then bring some functionality to the maintenance release, which would finish up, you know, in July.
If you scroll up to the previous screen, so right now we are at the end of the dev sprint 4.
Right.
So what Ritwik is asking is that we can get the next 2 weeks, so it would be the E2E. To complete the code and then essentially start the end-to-end testing 2 weeks late. The good thing is that these changes, since right now the traffic steering use case is only implemented between the simulator, RIC platform, and the XApps, hopefully that will be simpler and faster testing because it doesn't involve CUDU. And those pieces. So,
okay.
Maybe other people. Ritwik, do you have any opinion? But I'm still optimistic that we can do this with mm-hmm. 2 week extension. At least be able to demonstrate it with the
CD. Yeah, I think it's okay to demonstrate it in part, not the whole thing together. That's why we are requesting this extension. I think it's because it's an important use case and. You know, I think working group 2, 3, I think the whole ORAN Alliance will also resonate with this. It's good to show some progress, Chuck. And, you know, okay. I think no. We thank Yavi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying also, to figure out what's the structure. I guess the next question is, Lijing, I mean, the way we've set this up is we do, you know, kind of end-to-end sprint demo testing for 3 weeks, and then we have another 2 weeks of end-to-end testing. So what they're proposed
right. So
extend this 2 weeks and then have 3 weeks for kind of for testing.
Yeah, I think we're okay. The current testing plan is we can have three separate tracks. Two of them are for the two RSAC use cases, and the third one is for ODU integration. Since this extension only impacts one of the tracks, the traffic steering use cases. So we'll be pretty busy doing the other two. So I think it's fine to just schedule the testing for this track a little later
And to my understanding, the current scope for this track is much more manageable compared to what's on the RSEC wiki page. So yeah, we can take a phased approach, just, you know, finish testing of phase one of that use case within this release. Currently, if this team can deliver just with 2 weeks delay, I think we can complete within the release schedule, not needing a further extension into the maintenance release.
Okay.
Hi, Jack and yes. Lucian. This is Jimmy from Audio Loop Project. You know, our development for the ODU, especially for the FAP piece, and since we do some change about the shared memory between the ODU low and ODU high, so we have some delay, 2 weeks delay to finish all the development. So, and now our code freeze for the development maybe is May 17th. And then we need to go through the process from Intel. In parallel, we are doing the process, but the criteria is we can, after code freeze, we need to do more check. So I think from our side, I need more, 2 weeks more to.
Well, if you're saying code freeze is 17th, that's 3 weeks more. And then you said there's an Intel process after that. Okay, I mean, that's more, am I missing something? Because you said the May 17th, right?
Yeah, the code freeze is from our side is May 17th. And in the parallel, we are doing the, we are doing the process, the release process in Intel, open source process in Intel. But the target time is still May 31. I don't think it will impact that. At least I think, the release date will be May 31.
That's what I'm trying to understand the date. So it's you're projecting May 17th as the date or May 13th? I'm just trying to make sure I hear it correctly.
The code freeze is May 17th.
Okay, so that's 3 weeks behind, the deadline. That's not 2 weeks behind the deadline, right? And so that's an additional problem. And I guess we should have heard about it a little earlier than this. It also has to do with you're developing the code inside of Intel and then dumping it out, which is really something we need to talk about going forward, because the code really needs to be contributed to the repos as you go, not, just kind of dump large scale code. It's kind of not the open source way to develop the code externally and then continue to dump blocks in. But let's deal with this now. All right, so what does that mean to you, Lijing, if they're going to be delayed till May 17th?
Also after that, the ODU high and ODU low need to have some code integration, right? That was my previous understanding. It's not like other components. Okay, they deliver a self-contained Docker container, then it should work with other components. But here the integration is tighter, right? Can you provide an estimation on when the and Sachin and Jimmy, could you provide an estimation on how much time the code integration will need?
Sachin, I think I don't think the ODU high is in, will finish the development for the factory. I'm not sure the status is right. And at the initial discussions for the broad release, it's hard to do the ODU high and ODU low integration. we can finish from the audio loop side. Yeah, from the audio loop side, we can finish the development of FAP interface.
Yeah, from ODU high perspective, we're still trying to complete our piece of code by the current sprint. Maybe there'll be some spillover which we'll take up in the next week or so, but yeah, we will probably have the code ready. But integration, as you said, I do expect that it takes around 4 to 5 weeks definitely for the integration.
I've gotten enough information to basically, it's pretty clear you're not going to make the timeline for the B release, for the regular B release, right? So if I could ask the two of you to come back with a timeline and a plan, can you complete the FAPI integration for the maintenance release and, that will follow this? Because, I'm not going to extend bronze that far out. So, take a look at the maintenance window. It, takes you out through July 18th. You guys got to pay attention to these dates. It doesn't help to have apps, detached development cycles. So the best I can do is offer you, if you want to be in the maintenance release for bronze, that would be a date that we could talk about. If not, we're going to wait. It's going to have to be pushed off to cherry. So please sit and talk with Lejing. Come back with a plan next week if you can make the maintenance release. But, right now, it looks like you're not going to make the bronze release with these kind of time dates. I can't delay it 7 weeks or which is 3 weeks for the software and then 4 weeks for integration that I'm hearing, right? So I think please take a look at that plan and see if you can hit the maintenance window that's proposed here at the beginning part of Cherry. This is really bronze maintenance, okay? And talk to Lejing. Just for the FAPI and the ODU low to ODU high integration, right?
Okay.
I think the answer is we have good consensus that for the simulator and for the X apps, we'll keep them in the bronze release, and we'll give you the extra 2 weeks on those. But please try to get them within those 2 weeks. Yeah. Window. If not, at a certain point, we will cut it off and move it out to the, out of the B release. But I think it's an important thing to have in the bronze release.
Okay. All right.
I know it's always hard in open source projects, but we really need to stay with the timelines and figure out how to deliver the functionality and work more into the open source repos and continue to work as teams and do the integration and pay attention to the timelines. We're trying to be flexible, but at the same time, we need to stay on something that's a meaningful timeline to the bigger community. All right, let's get back. We only have a couple of minutes left, but the big, I think, John, you asked, who asked about licensing?
John Keane here. I just wanted to check with what is the story about ORAN, OSC reusing ORAN Alliance specs? Because we will be reproducing part of the A1 spec in our repos, but I think this is more of a more general picture. What is the relationship between OSC and ORAN Alliance with regard to licensing?
Jinri, you want to cover that?
The latest news I remember, I actually reviewed those emails yesterday, was Stefan prepared a draft to be sent to board, right? And then Jack, you did raise modify a bit, but after that, I haven't seen any feedback from Stefan. But basically, EC has discussed this, and including like the other topic. I mean, if you remember, some time ago we were also discussing the ASN.1 copyright permission issue. We discussed that, EC discussed that, and they prepare a proposal to be sent to the board. Basically, the proposal said that, in hopes that the board could give the authority to EC to approve the similar requests in the future, so that to improve the efficiency and save the time. But that's the general information regarding the specific A1 or reusing of the spec. There is no specific request for this, just to be clear.
So I think, John, if you could send me an email that, you know, covers what you're interested in. Here's a couple of things. A, what's been clarified is the contributing company for any copyrighted material will retain a dual copyright ownership to that material that they contribute to ORAN Alliance. ORAN Alliance cannot grant copyright privileges until that material in that specification, till that specification is approved. Meaning that, you know, that's when it kind of, the copyright moves from the original contributing company to ORAN. So if Ericsson is the source of the message sets that you're contributing to ORAN, then Ericsson can choose to release, you know, add those copyrights to the OSC independent of, same thing for Nokia or anyone else. If you're the originator of those message sets, you have a dual copyright ownership. That's how it's been explained to me. Second.
So Jack, you mean in this case, they don't need the permission from the board?
Well, but they need the permission from their company, right?
Yeah, I see. Right. But they don't need a permission on board.
If they're the originator of the material to,
yes,
to ORAN,
yeah,
right? Now, what I've
okay.
asked,
oh, ORAN, nice.
Right? That's the way it was explained to me. Because you maintain copyright privileges. You're not giving them exclusively to ORAN. You're giving ORAN, the option to, the ability to co-manage that copyright with the originating company. So that's one path you could pursue. The second one, what I've asked ORAN to approve, was that any content in any message, that's really what the software implements and copies, right? It's the content of the messages. But if there's a particular request that you're concerned about, John, please send me an email. We have an EC meeting on Friday, right?
No, tomorrow.
Thursday,
yeah.
This week. Okay, they bounce around a little bit. If you send me something, John, today or tomorrow for you, but before, you know, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'll try.
Oh, it's 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
So check. Yeah, it's different from previous.
Okay, yeah. They moved it up. All right.
Okay, no, it's just I would have assumed that there would be some kind of general overarching agreement between OSC and ORAN Alliance. For instance, I don't think that it's fair that I would go back and ask Ericsson to release licensing restrictions so that OSC.
That's fine. I'm just giving you the ways that have been explained to me, right?
Okay.
People can choose to follow. But I just want to make sure that if you have a particular concern, because to me, it's mostly the content of messages that, you know, they don't want us to release the whole specification, right, in open source. That would be, you know, undermining how they're trying to manage their specifications. But, you know, to me, it's the content of all the messages that would be reproduced in the exact form in software.
Yes, so, those schemas are defined in the working group 2 A1 AP spec document. So if we were to reuse that I presume verbatim, we would need clearance, I imagine, from.
Right, but the verbatim is for the content of the messages, right? You know.
No, it's for the schema, for the actual interface definition.
Right. Okay. Yep. All right. So just send me a note on that, and I'll make sure we put it on the list.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Just very quickly, I know you want to move on, but is there somewhere you mentioned that how it's been explained to you? Is there a documentation of that we can look at to see what the rules are as to what we can and how we can release copyright between?
If you send me a note, I'll connect you up.
Perfect.
With what I know.
Thank you very much.
All right. I think the last item is Lijing. I know we're over 2 minutes. Lijing, you had two items you wanted to cover.
Yes. We can do that quickly if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. Let me share. I do have a short deck.
Okay. Are you having a meeting today after this?
Yes. Yep. All right. Okay. So I requested two agenda items. One is for improving the Git review process. The second part is what's the plan for testing and the branching strategy, so on and so forth. So let me just quickly go through these materials. Let's keep the discussion, if there's any, to the subsequent integration and testing meeting. All right. So during this release, we had some experience. We received some recommendations for improving the Git review process. So I took a look at the current practice and making some suggestions. One is during the review process, currently somebody make a submission, then the system, which is its default setting, the Git system default setting, requires two positive reviews, really. One is a verification, which typically is done by the Jenkins verify job. That needs to pass. Then somebody needs to give a +2 review score. Once both are conditions are met, the submission becomes mergeable. Then it takes a committer to merge the submission. But the problem is, if the contributor or the submitter is a committer as well, then he can just submit the code and quickly give a +2 himself, then just merge the code. So really, we're losing the advantage of the Gary system, which is set up for having more pairs of eyes to look into the code review. And we also had some community members saying that, oh, I really want to review this, but it was merged too quickly. I didn't even get a chance to look at it. So for this looking around, and there is an improved merging policy that Gary supports, and I know some projects are also using, which is called NACR, non-author code review. So if you look at the screenshot here, this is what we currently have. If you look into the Gary, and you can see the score. And this is taken from the Linux Foundation's own release engineering team, their Gary practice. So there is an additional item, which is called non-author code review, right? In this case, only after the somebody other than the author giving a +2, the submission becomes mergeable. So hence, you know, we would like to ask for a TOC decision on whether we should move forward with this by also practicing the NACR +2 requirement. If the TOC decision is yes, and I'll make the request to Linux Foundation. But given the timing, I guess we can postpone this vote to the next meeting, if that's okay.
Yeah, we'll have to, but you're asking for it to be put in place starting in Cherry, or are you asking to use it in Bronze?
Either way, I think at this point, maybe we should start from Cherry because it does introduce additional time delay between a code is submitted and reviewed and submitted and merged. So given that the current phase we're in, I think it's probably better to do it in Cherry.
Okay, and then there's also the maintenance release. Okay.
Yep.
Let's talk about it more next week, but we're not going to change this in the middle at this late stage of the Bronze. We're in the last stages of development. Okay.
Understood. So, another Gary practice, a submission practice we can think about is to limit the submission size. Earlier on today's call, you also mentioned the practice of dumping large amount of internally developed code. From technical methods, Gary does allow the setting of limiting how large a submission can be, and it will block all the submissions large exceeding certain size limit. I know some other projects, they're using the limitation of 5,000 line of code. But, you know, this is something for the community to think about whether we want to adopt, because such practice does help encouraging open development, which is, you know, you really do all the code changes in the open using this Gary system. So this is what nudge the development practice towards that direction as well. So, but I understand
5,000 or 500, because it says 500 on the slide.
Yeah, you can do either way. This is, I found a published study showing the efficiency of peer review system, and that book actually recommend less than 500, but in practice, often people do need more than 500 line of code. For example, ONAP, they use 5,000, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's something to consider. All right. So these two about the Gary submission process for improving the review quality. Now, quickly go to the releasing and end-to-end testing. This is where we are. Here is basically what the integration and testing team, we're expecting what's being delivered to us for testing. So Bronze feature implementation done and the code checked in, of course, and the container build using Linux Foundation CI, and it's the container images available on the Nexus, Linux Foundation Nexus registry. Once we start testing, code freeze on the master branch, according to the release calendar, it should happen next week, but understand there's going to be a case-by-case situation. So, but anyway, once testing starts, you shouldn't add more feature code onto the master branch, right? Otherwise, it makes a lot of testing to be not reliable anymore. By code freeze, really, we're expecting, okay, after the freeze, only bug fixes and the documentation changes onto the master branch. According to the release calendar, if the code freeze date cannot be met, and please make exception request to the TOC, which thanks for the PTLs earlier on the call, they already did.
Lusheng, what's the exact proposal for the code freeze date?
Well, if you look at the release calendar for all the repos, should be this weekend. Now we know the current exceptions are the repos involved in the traffic steering use case, and the one in the two are DU, ODU low, ODU high projects.
Okay.
Thanks. So branching strategy, a diagram. So this is starting off the code freeze. Then during the code freeze period, there's the iterations of testing bug fixes. And during this code freeze time, if the some members of the team, they want to develop additional features targeted for Cherry or other purposes, please create development branches and put your development code onto the development branches. And at certain point, test completed, the code is passed, then please release the container, right? We went through this during the Ember. Release container and make a branch for the bronze, okay, which is this branch. This time we're gonna use a lowercase b. In the Ember, we used a capital A, and that caused some issue, especially in the documentation automation. So we'll just use O lowercase from now on. Sorry for the for the trouble during the Ember release. Okay, so after you branch, then the master branch is open for development again, right? During this open, after the master branch is open, if there's new bugs being discovered and fixed it, then please release the updated container. Also cherry pick whatever code changes made on the master branch onto the bronze branch. So the head of bronze branch should always be the best best quality for the bronze release. Okay. The exiting test exiting expectation is we're gonna have three testing tracks for the health check use case, for the traffic steering use case, and for the ODU integration track. Right. For the health check, here are the projects involved. From RSEC's documentation, seems like ODU could be also involved, but I'm not sure if that was actually carried out in the implementation. So Sachin, later on, if you could drop me a line, that'll be super. The criteria will be, okay, the system deploys and all the pods are running alive and producing normal looking logs, right? At least log and not say, oh, critical and something like that. Then we'll complete the RSEC health check use case call flows, which I stated on the RSEC wiki page. Track two, traffic steering. This is as described on the RSEC wiki page. I understand now we're taking a phased approach, so this plan will be need to modify. But overall, the approach is the same. A full system deploys, pods alive, normal logs, and we're completing the call flows as stated by the wiki page. And the track three is ODU integration, involves infrastructure, ODU low and ODU high, and the simulation project. And here is the current target, but this is a more mobile target compared to the other two. We'll see how far we can get with respect to also the O-Run side, the their requirements. Testing plan. First, we're gonna do use case walkthrough with all the PTLs to identify what subcomponents are involved, and we'll refine the deployment artifacts and scripts for all the required deployments. And we can also request projects for preparing testing scripts, what commands to use, so on and so forth. Testing setup, we'll primarily be using the TLab. AT&T provides a TLab for open source and other public for public uses. So for track one and two, the plan is we're going to use two VMs, excuse me, set up a two single node Kubernetes clusters on them, and one will run near real time RIC platform and applications, and another one is going to run the SMO, which includes non real time. ONAP Lite and OAM. So deployment scripts will be hosted under the RTDAP repo. For track three, we will use two bare metal servers. We'll run the infrastructure project developed software stack, and OS, Docker, and the Kubernetes. There will be some manual installations of additional system software. And then the rest of, we're hoping that the ODU, at least we can do that, do the automated deployment or one-click deployment, the artifacts and scripts can be hosted under the same place. The format of working is we're going to set up working sessions. The sessions are going to be organized by testing tracks, and the detailed schedule will to be available. All right. Sorry for taking this additional minutes. And if there's any discussions, please hang on. We'll move to the next meeting and discuss more. Thank you. All right. Hello.
Sorry, we're running a little over here. Thank you for people who stayed on. You know, we're right at the end. It gets a little more important to cover these topics for everyone so people know what's going on. Are there any quick comments to Lijing? Okay, then what we'll do is we'll close out the TO.